Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, David Beauclair, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We had a great conversation with Dan Rosen from NHL.com earlier in the show. We'll have that for you coming up at 9:30, so looking forward to that. David, speaking of the Predators, we'll get into the Forsberg part of this again coming up here in just a few minutes. But I just want to start with your thoughts on basically where they sit heading into this offseason. We mentioned earlier in the show you had career years last year from a lot of guys. I mean, Duchesne, Forsberg, Josi, Saros was really good. I thought Johansson, for the most part, was really good last year. Granlund was really good. And you were the last team into the playoffs in the wild card, and you got swept in the first round against Colorado. So, obviously, there is a gap between the Predators and some of the top teams in the West, and more specifically, some of the cup contenders throughout the league. My question for you is, as somebody who's been around this franchise for a long time, they've made it past the second round of the playoffs one time. Of course, that was back in 2017. How close are the Predators to being a true cup contender in your mind? What does the journey look like to get there? And what do you make of the idea that some fans have thrown out that it's probably just going to take a complete teardown at some point to get there?
Yeah, I don't feel like this team is particularly close right now. I think they were trending in the wrong direction for a long time. They stabilized things last season, but I don't know that they've reversed anything. The thing that I don't like when I watch the Predators play is the construction of the defense. I think there's too much of the too much emphasis on the puck moving and not enough emphasis on actual defense.
Right.
I was at a game late in the regular season against the St. Louis Blues, and I was just mesmerized by their defense group when looking at, you know, their number one pairing had Colton Parayko, who's 6'6", 230. And their number two pairing had Robert Bortuzzo, who's 6'4", 216. And their number three pairing had Marco Scandella, who's 6'3", 211. They always had somebody. Now, like, Parayko, as big as he is, can move, right? Yep. He's a tremendous athlete. He's not Chris Pronger back there. But all of these guys played defense first. Yep. And used their size to occupy space and clear space and do those sorts of things in the defensive end. And there's nobody on Nashville's defense. Now, maybe Lazan is a first step in that direction. But there, you know, Nick was talking about trading Dante Fabbro. He wasn't impressed with Dante Fabbro's season. Fabbro is having to do things he's not designed to do because he's played a lot with Roman Josi.
Yeah.
And I'll point to Shea Weber. Think back when Shea Weber and Ryan Suter were a pair. Shea Weber was the guy, like I always said, Ryan Suter did all the little things that allowed Shea Weber to do all the big things he did.
Yep.
And when Ryan Suter left and Shea Weber got paired with Roman Josi, Weber had to change his game completely. Weber then used his big body to stay at home, let Josi take off and do those things. And credit to Shea Weber. He changed his game, changed it, did it well for a while, helped Josi become the player he is today. Fabbro is not Shea Weber, right? Like he's not the big body. He can't play that type of game. And you know, Ekholm has a, you know, he's a big guy. He has the kind of build, but he doesn't have that game. You know, that's not the way he plays the game. He tries to be much more like Roman Josi than he does a stay-at-home guy. And I want to see this defense overhauled. I want to see more of a commitment to positional play in the defensive end and having guys in the right spot. Like I always think back. You know, much is made of shot blocking these days, and it's exciting, and it's guys are playing hard because they're blocking shots. That's true to an extent, but I always think back to a conversation I had with Pekka Rinne one day where I was talking about something about blocked shots or whatever, and Ryan Suter was standing nearby, and Suter leaned in. He goes, "You know, if you're in the right position, you don't need to block a shot," and when I watch the Predators play, that's what I don't see anybody committed to being in the right position on defense all the time. What I see is guys looking for opportunities to get the puck and go and get the hell out of the defensive end. And until I see more of a commitment to taking care of things in defense and guys who are physically capable and mentally wired that way, I just think this team's a long way off.
Well, I think that's a great point because everybody's going to point to the top six and say, well, there's got to be more there. And I agree. Like I fully expect the Predators, even if they sign Forsberg this offseason, I expect David Poile to take a look and maybe add somebody else to the top six. I mean, it's not going to be like Johnny Gaudreau or anybody like right. that, but they're going to add somebody else to the top six. I mean, as good as – I thought, honestly – and look, Dan Rosen talked about this earlier. I don't think Ryan Johansson is a number one center in the NHL. I think he's a really good number two. I thought last year he kind of got the short end of the stick because you basically had Granlund playing with Forsberg and Duchesne the whole year. And Johansson's wingers, they just couldn't score. I mean, Luke Cunningham played in the top six for 90% of the year last year. He had a 41-game stretch where he had 1 point. Like, that can't happen. Tolvanen wasn't a top six forward last year. So I thought Johansson played really well in spite of that last year. So most people are going to point to, well, they got to get the top six figured out. I think an underrated part of this team is exactly what you just mentioned. Their defense was a mess at the end of the year last year. And look, some of it is Josi. Like, he was really good offensively, obviously. He put up 96 points. I do think he sacrificed a little bit defensively in order to do that. The shutdown pairing last year was basically Ekholm and Carrier, and that's kind of the question I have moving forward. Like, is Carrier big enough to handle a role like that?
He's not a physical presence.
He's not.
No, and same sort of thing. I think he wants to be more of a Josi type too. Like, I think he wants to be a take the puck and go. And it, you know, you can see it between drafting Fabro, between drafting Carrier, even going back to Josi and Ekholm being drafted, right? Like, the Predators got enamored with this idea at a certain point, and they found guys like that.
Well, even Sam Girard, who they drafted, ended up with Colorado.
A great example of that too. But they didn't get enough of the other piece, and they didn't get any of the other piece, and here they are. They're kind of stuck with this bunch right now, and it. You know, you see them get overwhelmed in the defensive end from time to time, and you see them end up chasing the puck too much. And it's sort of like, I mean, I guess the good news is UC Saros' biggest strength is he understands where the play is going, and positionally he's good with that sort of thing. But they need a little more of that from their defenseman too to help him out that way.
I agree. Like, I do wonder if there's a plan there for the Predators this offseason, because I think most people think, well, they've got Fabro and they've got Carrier, and those two guys are your top four, or they're going to be a part of your top four moving forward. And I'm just not sure that they are. Like, I don't know that Dante Fabro, I think, has shown some flashes where he's been good. I don't know that Dante Fabro is a top four defenseman moving forward. And I don't know – you know, based on some conversations I've had, I don't know if they view him as a top four defenseman.
See, that's the way I felt about Ekholm for a long time. Like Matthias Ekholm is a good player, but he's not a guy you're going to win because of. I just don't see that from him. And you know, their commitment to him and their commitment to him as a top four defenseman, I've never understood that, and that's where I think they just, when I talked earlier about, you know, taking some big swings this off season and, you know, not tearing this thing to the ground, but making some trades, doing some things, you know, reshape the nature of this team. That's where I'd like to see it happen. It wouldn't hurt my feelings at all if you started this next season with four new defensemen in whatever form. You know, like, obviously you're not going to touch Roman Josi.
Yeah.
But give Josi somebody who's going to protect the net and do those sorts of things, who, when Yossi's taking the puck and going, if he turns it over, if something happens, you know that this other guy's going to be in position in the right spot all the time. And yeah, I guess it sounds really easy to sit here and say that right now. It's harder to find a guy like that, get somebody to give them to you. But that's what I think needs to be the point of emphasis.
We'll continue the conversation on the Predators, 615-737-1025. How close are the Predators to contending for a Stanley Cup? More questions for David on that coming up next. We'll also get to some news on the Philip Forsberg contract front as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, David Beauclair, Nick Keyes are here with you on this Friday morning. We'll have a conversation with Dan Rosen from NHL.com coming up at 9:30. Get his thoughts on Philip Forsberg and free agency, which is less than 2 weeks away from today here in the National Hockey League. So that's coming up at 9:30. Discussing this question, how close are the Preds to being among the contenders for the Stanley Cup? Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So it was interesting because we had a conversation similar to this in the immediate aftermath of the loss to Colorado in the playoffs, where, I mean, the Preds just got smoked in that series. They got swept. And then you watch Colorado throughout the rest of the playoffs, and they smoked St. Louis, and they smoked Edmonton, and they did pretty well against the two-time defending cup champs in Tampa Bay as well, although I thought that series was really good. So if you're a Predators fan, should the way that Colorado steamrolled through everybody change the way you view things, or does that not change the conversation all that much to you, David Beauclair?
No, it doesn't change the conversation to me at all. The fact is, you weren't competitive for that series. You know, whether you faced them in the first round, second round, whatever, you're not nearly as good, and you've got to find a way to match up. You know, that not only is Colorado now the team to beat. Colorado's the team to beat in your conference. Colorado's the team to beat in your division. You know, you've got to match up with them and find ways to be as good as or better than they are. And I always say the Stanley Cup is a moving target. And if you're keeping your team the same, chances are you're getting farther away from it. This is what pro sports is. You've got to deal with the big dog. And, you know, David Poile was honest after the season, and he talked about it, that they were, you know, there was a pretty big gap between the teams, and it's his job to find a way to bridge that gap. Like, to your point, re-signing Philip Forsberg will make a lot of people happy. Does it make you a better team? No. You know, assuming you get that deal done, you still got to do other things to try and try and get yourself back up to where you were 5-6 years ago. And It seems like an awful long time ago for those of us who have been sitting and paying attention.
It does, and it leads to kind of the natural question that comes up, I think, every time we have this conversation, and that is, can you really get there without some elite guys down the middle? Like, the Predators have never had a Nathan MacKinnon or a Connor McDavid, or quite frankly, really anybody close. Like, I mean, you had Peter Forsberg, but Peter Forsberg at that time was – he was injured.
He was not the same
Peter Forsberg that he was in Colorado. So the Predators have really never had that. Now, you know, they did it a different way in 2017. They had basically a foursome on defense that they invested a lot of money into with Josi, Ellis, Subban, and Ekholm, and they played really well during the playoffs. They got a lot from Johansson before he got hurt in that run. Pekka was awesome in that run. There are different ways to going about trying to compete for a Stanley Cup. But the bottom line is, it's just way easier when you have guys like Nathan MacKinnon, like Sidney Crosby, like Connor McDavid. So how do you get there if right now, I guess the way I would describe the Predators right now is, they are always going to be good enough as constructed, in my mind, to not get one of those guys.
Right.
Like, they're just – and going out and trying to trade for one of those guys, when teams find them, they're very hesitant on giving them up at that point. So how do you find one of those guys if you're not going to be bad enough? Like, everybody talks about tanking, and I understand that. You also have to tank at the right time.
Right.
Like, I think the Devils are a pretty good example of that right now. Like, they were awful, and they got Nico Hischier, and they got Jack Hughes, both of which I think are good players, but they're not Nathan MacKinnon, and they're not Connor McDavid.
They're not Austin
like,
Matthews.
A lot of this is timing as well.
Yeah, and you know, this was what was interesting to me about this playoff season, and particularly Colorado. And when I say, you know, when I say the Stanley Cup is a moving target, the one thing general managers could always say to themselves was, the goalie can be the great equalizer, right? And, you know, you talk about how fantastic Pekka was in 2017. You know, Predators don't end up where they were without him playing at that crazy good level. And you can say that, you know, and even the Penguins, like, they won that year. Matt Murray was really good, you know, even though, yes, they had Sidney Crosby, they had Geno Malkin, they had, but Matt Murray was really good. When was the last time a team won a Stanley Cup and you never really talked about their goalie other than, in this case, is this guy good enough?
Right.
Like, even in the, you know, 3-4 games into the Stanley Cup final, the commentary still is Darcy Kuemper good enough to win you a Stanley Cup?
Right.
It's not like he had played so well during the run that, you know, everybody was convinced at that point. So this is, you know, I said earlier in the show, we're this season was the full realization of what owners and players wanted coming out of the 2004-05 lockout, which was to open up the game, eliminate the clutching and grabbing and everything, and referees for two seasons called penalty after penalty after penalty after penalty to get it out of the game, and it trickled down to the lower ranks of the game, and what you've seen now is a whole generation of players who grew up with room to skate, to be creative, to do those sorts of things, and maybe, you know, maybe this is the beginning of an era where, you know, you can win cups with just a good goalie.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then the Preds have that much more work to do, because they rely so heavily on their goalie right now. They relied on Pekka for years after 2017. They relied incredibly heavily on Juuse Saros this year. And maybe that's not the game anymore.
It's interesting to think about, because, I mean, you still have guys like Vasilevskiy who are like – Vasilevskiy is the greatest goalie in the world. Like, you will not convince me otherwise. He's the best goalie in the world. He also plays for a very good team in the Tampa Bay Lightning. But, like, let's think about these cup winners and their goalies. Take Vasilevskiy out of the conversation. You've got Braden Holtby in Washington, who's a backup goalie at this point. Matt Murray, who is not really an NHL goaltender at this point. Jordan Binnington, who was a backup for a lot of the year last year in St. Louis, although he did take over the starting job in the playoffs. And now Darcy Kuemper just won the cup as well. Like, the idea that you have to have like this superstar elite goalie to win the cup, I just don't think is a thing anymore. They've got to play well. And you know, Jordan Bennington in St. Louis
played great.
So, like, you have to have your goalie play well. But the idea that you have to have, like, a top five goalie in the league right now to win a cup, I just don't think is a thing anymore. Like, Vasilevsky is obviously the exception there. But I just pointed out guys that played really well at the time, but over the larger body of work have not been anywhere close to top five goalies in the league that have won cups in the last 5-6 years. Just a different time in the NHL.
It is, and I guess to the point. Then you know, you're right. I felt like maybe there had been more, and maybe it's Vasilevsky the last couple of years had sort of shaped my opinion. But Bennington did. You know, Bennington played out of his mind, and that. Kemper didn't have to do that this year. It's
Colorado had to puck the whole playoffs. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It really was. But there have not been a lot of goalies who have won the Conn Smythe recently.
No.
And it seemed like going back, I guess historically there's not a lot of them, but it felt like there was more. There was a stretch here, Patrick Waugh in 2001. Jaguar in 2003, Cam Ward in 2006.
Yeah.
But Tim Thomas and Jonathan Quick won it back to back in 11 and 12. But Vasilevsky's the only one since then.
Yeah. Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Glenn from Greenbrier texting in says the Preds are in the position the Titans were in for years. Good enough to compete and go 7-9 or 9-7. Not bad enough to really get better. This is coming from Glenn on the text line. It's a decent comparison. April in Portland says, maybe I'm optimistic, but I don't think we're that far away. If we sign Forsberg, I think we're a top six forward, a top defenseman, and a true backup goalie away. The first line and the third line are solid. Johansson / Granlund need a top six forward to play with. Favreau needs to be on the third pair with Borowiecki. This is coming from April in Portland. So it is interesting, like, the different opinions on how close Preds fans think that they are.
Favreau and Borowiecki would be an interesting pair to me. That makes sense from a defensive guy and an offensive guy standpoint.
That would be interesting.
Neither one of them is particularly big.
But the thing is, what you come back to with the, because I agree. Like, I think they need to target somebody this offseason that can play with Roman Josi. It's not going to be Ekholm because they really value the left-right shot thing, which I understand. I don't think that should be the end of the world, but you need to find somebody that can play with Roman Josi that's not going to be like John Klingberg's going to make a ton of money this offseason. You don't need anybody like that, but like a stay-at-home guy that's good enough in his own end to skate and to play with Roman Josi. But that's really difficult to find. I understand that. But that's kind of exactly what they need on the back end.
That would make me feel a lot better about where this team is going if they get somebody like that. Like a guy, I don't care if he scores 20 points this year. You know, give 2 goals, 15 assists, but you're taking care of things in front of the net, especially since the way Saros plays. I mean, think about this, right? At 6'5", Pekka Rinne could see over people in front of him. Saros needs help. I mean, he needs to be able to follow the puck. That's his game. Read the play, connect the dots, do all that. But he needs somebody to clear room because he's not looking over a 6'3" forward in front of him. So that's an element I think this team really has to have.
No question about it. Coming up next, we were joined by Dan Rosen from NHL.com earlier in the show to get his thoughts on Philip Forsberg and his impending free agency and some moves that could be made around the league coming up later in less than 2 weeks from now. We'll get to that conversation next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside David Beauclair and Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. In honor of America's birthday, coming up on Monday, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in one of the greatest living Americans, Dan Rosen from NHL.com. Dan, what's going on? How we doing?
Easily the best intro I've ever had, Robbie.
Well,
I mean, easily the best intro.
That's,
no question about it.
That's what we're going for here on this program. This is high-level stuff on this broadcast.
Total lie, but all great here.
Well, Dan, we appreciate you taking time to join us this morning here on the program. So, NHL free agency now less than 2 weeks away. Philip Forsberg still without a contract here with the Predators. Now, it depends on who you ask. Elliot Friedman came on our station yesterday and said there's progress being made. Darren Dreger a little less optimistic with his take yesterday on Twitter. I'll just ask you this. How do you view the Forsberg situation in terms of purely the decision that he has to make? The money's going to be good. It's going to be an 8-year contract here with the Predators if he signs it, but there's always maybe the grass is greener on the other side. How do you kind of view Forsberg and the decision that he has upcoming with him and the Nashville Predators?
Well, I look at it in two different ways. Number one, you know how I feel about Nashville, Robbie. I love the city of Nashville. I love the situation the Predators have there. How could you not love it? How could you not want to play there? It's a fantastic city. It's a fantastic location for an arena. The fans are great. The team is always competitive. I don't see how you wouldn't want to be a part of it, right? So that's number one. But Philip Forsberg has never had this opportunity. He's never really had this opportunity to say to himself, what do 31 other teams think of me, right? I mean, what if, okay, so Nashville can give me eight years, and that's fine. But, I mean, really, what's the difference between one more year if I find somewhere someone else that says to me, you know what, here's what we can give you for 7 years. Here's where you can live. Here's where you can play. And here's who you can play with. And here's why. I mean, he's never had the opportunity to do this. So I don't begrudge him. 8 years, the off. You know, everything's going to be above board, right, with the Predators. Everything's going to be top of the line. They're going to give him the deal. They're going to give him the dollars, the term, all that. But maybe Philip Forsberg says, I just got to see what else is out there for me, fellas. I just can't marry myself to one team for my entire career without knowing what else is out there. And to me, that's what this is about. That is what this is about. This is about Philip Forsberg, you know, being sort of just interested, you know, and wanting to know what else could be out there for him. I think of the Steven Stamkos situation a number of years ago. I think it was 6-7 years ago, that wild time in the NHL where Subban got traded and Hall got traded.
Crazy 23 minutes.
23 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah. But you know what? That buildup, we were all wondering, is Steven Stamkos, Toronto or whatever, like, is there going to be something else out there? Is he looking? And he did. And then he found out Tampa was where he wanted to be. Forsberg doesn't have that interview period that Stamkos had, but he could still figure it out. And maybe that's what this comes down to. This could come down to July 12th for Philip Forsberg instead of July 13th going somewhere else. July 12th staying with Nashville or 11th or whatever it is. But it also could be like, you know what, I really want to see what else is out there. And that is his right. That is his right.
And where do you see him among the most desirable free agents this year? Like, say if he gets out there and starts listening, how many teams do you think would be coming hard at him?
Well, I think there'd be a bunch. You know, I mean, cap space is a premium. We know that right now. There's not a lot of teams that can afford of Philip Forsberg in their current state with their cap right now. But Philip Forsberg, to me, is a guy that you trade other pieces to try to assign him. Like, that's the type of player he is. But then, you know, you think about it. Look, I mean, look, Colorado's got a lot to deal with, right? Bunch of UFAs, all that stuff. Maybe they like Philip Forsberg because they can do it. Their team would change. They just won the Stanley Cup. Their team would change. But you're adding a 40-goal scorer who could be a 50-goal scorer on that team, right? Calgary, what's up with Johnny Gaudreau? You know, I mean, if Johnny Gaudreau is not coming back, well, Calgary's an option now for Philip Forsberg, right? So there's good quality teams. What about the Pittsburgh Penguins? You know, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang, both pending unrestricted free agents. I don't think they're going to re-sign both. Maybe they re-sign one. If they do, I think it would be Letang. We'll see where it goes, but is that an option right there for them, for the Pittsburgh Penguins? So we're not talking about teams here that are in a rebuilding state only. We're talking about teams that could be contending and still be interested in Philip Forsberg. And to me, that's the intrigue. And that has to be what Philip Forsberg's thinking too.
Dan, I'm glad you brought up the Penguins, because to me, I look at them, and I know it's been Crosby and Malkin and Letang for so long, but like Malkin to me is just not the same guy anymore. And yep. I don't know financially if it's worth the Penguins going down that road. I tell you a guy that I've thought about for a long time now that really intrigues me with them, that now that the cup is over, I'm interested to see if this happens. Do you think Pittsburgh could take a run at a guy like Nazem Kadri to come in and maybe replace Malkin and be that number two center?
As always, we're thinking along the same lines, you know.
It's a dangerous place to be.
That's exactly the thought I had, and it's exactly the direction I would go, to be honest with you, if I were the Penguins. I covered the Penguins series against the Rangers in the first round, and maybe if they have a Tristan Jarry, they get a healthy Tristan Jarry, they get out of that first round. We don't know, right? But maybe if Sidney Crosby doesn't get hurt in Game 5 and doesn't play Game 6, maybe they get out of that first round. Whatever. Thing that I noticed in that first round was Evgeny Malkin would get the puck at the far blue line, and then you'd see him rev it up, and you'd be like, oh, here goes Gino, right? Here he goes. We've seen this thousands of times, right? This is what we've seen for 15 years. And he'd get to the attacking zone blue line, and he'd kind of stop, and he wouldn't have the power. He didn't have the step. He didn't have the ability to go around that last guy that he would always get around and make that power move and get to the net. That's a concern for me. That's Gino's game. That's Evgeny Malkin's game, the power skating. Likes to go east-west, but, man, when he revs it up, nobody could rev it up the way Gino could rev it up. And he's coming off that left knee surgery, and maybe a full off-season of training will help him and whatnot, but he's going to be 36 years old, and it's to me, you're entering dangerous territory. And I'm all for loyalty. I'm all for all that stuff. But you also have to make a smart business decision. And to me, the smart business decision, if you're looking at the two free agents that the Penguins have here, they're cornerstone guys in Chris Letang and Evgeny Malkin. Letang's the guy that I would go after hard. I would try to do everything I could do to re-sign him because he's the hardest one to replace, and he's coming off a great year. Whereas Malkin's coming off of an injury. Maybe he's slowed down, and he's a little bit easier to replace with other guys that are out on the market, Nazem Kadri being the first guy I would look at, ideal number two center behind Sidney Crosby.
Dan Rosen from NHL.com on with us here on the program. By the way, we had a texter on our text line just say, I just threw up thinking about Forsberg and a Penguins jersey. So I'm sure that's going over well with Predators fans right now. Dan, I am interested. Let's say for sake of argument, Forsberg comes back with the Predators. How do you view this team? Because that's kind of the question here in Nashville we're trying to answer. Forsberg just had 42 goals. Duchesne just scored 43. Yossi put up more points than a defenseman's put up in 30 years in the league. And it got him barely scraping into the playoffs and getting swept by Colorado in round one. So how do you view this Predators team currently as they sit and how close they are to being a legitimate contender in the Western Conference?
Good, not great. Better with UC Saros in net. That was a big loss. They don't beat the Avalanche with UC Saros in net, but they probably don't get swept. How do things change for this team if they don't blow the lead against Arizona in the last game of the regular season? And they play Calgary and instead of Colorado. You look at the two things, right? If Saros is healthy and they don't blow that lead, now they got a Vezina finalist against another Vezina finalist in the first round, and maybe it's a different situation for them in the playoffs, and maybe we have a completely different feeling right now than we do about the Nashville Predators if those two things happen. But they didn't happen, right? I mean, they didn't have Saros, and they did blow the lead. So they end up playing Colorado. They get swept, and the feeling going into the offseason is a heck of a lot different. I like the team. I like Hines as a coach. I wonder what the missing ingredient is. I don't know. Is the missing ingredient, like, a real tried and true absolute number one center? So Ryan Johansson's playing two, is that it? I don't know how you go out and get that. I'm not sure you can. You can't. If Philip Forsberg leaves, you have to replace him with offense. You have to spend that money that you were going to spend to get offense. And maybe it's down the middle instead of on the wing. I don't know. Right. But they're good, not great. They're a team that's going to contend. I don't see them as a team that I'm saying, yeah, they're going to go. They could go win a Stanley Cup. But, you know, look, let's see what happens with Colorado in the offseason, because they got a lot of money to spend, but they got a lot of pending unrestricted free agents. If they don't re-sign guys and they take a little bit of a dip, which is a possibility, you know, that might bring them back down to the pack a little bit. And maybe we're looking at more teams in the Western Conference and saying, you know what, they got a shot, and maybe Nashville's in that mix. We'll see where we are in 2 weeks, but I think that they're always going to be around. They just, to me, they're just lacking something, and it might be that big man down the middle that everybody is fearful of. I like Ryan Johansson. I like Matt Duchene. I like these guys a lot, Michael Granlund. But, like, they're, you know, you look at the teams that have won the Stanley Cup. You know, we're talking about Nathan MacKinnon. We're talking about Sidney Crosby. We're talking about Braden Point / Steven Stamkos. You know, things along those lines. Ryan O'Reilly, you know, Patrice Bergeron years ago and now getting to the Cup Final in 2019 as well. Nick Backstrom, Evgeny Kuznetsov. Like, where is that guy? Is that guy Ryan Johansson? Maybe, but I think it might be just a tick above him. And that's what they're missing, but I don't know how they go out and get that.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Dan Rosen from NHL.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rextra. Dan, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to join us, and enjoy the holiday weekend, my friend.
All right, man. Appreciate you guys, too.
Thanks, absolutely. Dan.
Dan Rosen, our guest here on Robbie and Rextra. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Listen for the casino sounder today, and when you hear it, text Bally to 615-737-1025. Once again, that's Bally to 615-737-1025. To be qualified to play the grand prize roulette wheel, all qualifiers will receive a number on the wheel, and the winner will be revealed during the noon hour with the DDC. The winner will then have 10 minutes and 25 seconds to call in to win the grand prize, a summertime casino getaway to Bally's in Evansville. Must be 21 or older to enter. Official rules and more information at thegamenashville.com. /Bally. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexro. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning. Make sure you tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 7:05 as the Sounds take on the Indianapolis Indians, the AAA affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Breaking news, David Beauclair. The guy playing against Novak Djokovic has actually won a game.
Holy cow. Go figure.
Lost the first set 6-0. Was down 1-0 in the second set and came back. So it looks like Djokovic is going to cruise in the third round of Wimbledon today. Thanks to Dan Rosen for joining us earlier in the program. So here we are today, less than 2 weeks away from free agency in the NHL. How do you think this plays out with Philip Forsberg and the Predators? Is he back on an 8-year contract, or do you think he tests the waters and ultimately ends up somewhere else?
Feels bad to me for Preds fans. I think he ends up somewhere else. And you know, I'll say this too, in the Colorado series, particularly after the series came back to Nashville, he didn't look like a guy to me who was terribly invested in this organization. You know, he looked like a guy who was ready for it to be over, the way he played, the way he looked on the bench. Now, again, that's just me. I could be interpreting things wrong, but I didn't see a lot of, okay, guys, maybe we're not going to win this series, but let's set ourselves up. Let's build something, you know, to feel good about going into next year. I mean, he just looked to me like a guy who was ready for it to be over, and a guy that was, you know, I think, you know, the fact that he hasn't re-signed by this point makes me think he really does want to know what's out there, and maybe thinks that some other situation is more interesting, more exciting for him.
I'm interested to see how it plays out, because I said this earlier, there are kind of two lines of thinking on this. Either you're in the camp of, well, there's a deadline now, you know, you have less than 2 weeks to figure it out, and a lot of times That's when deals get done because they both sides know it has to get done. Or there's the school of thought of, well, they made it this far. It's July 1st.
Yeah.
Why would Forsberg back off now? The closer you get to the date means he's going to become a free agent. I mean, you know, different people view it different ways. You know, I've long been in the camp that he's going to come back and he's going to resign. But, hey, I mean, today's July. It's July 1st, and there's nothing done yet. So that can't make you feel great if you're a Predators fan.
And it's not like they got to the end of the season. David Poile and John Hines and the personnel staff sat down and looked at the roster and said, what do we like? What do we don't like? Okay, we like Philip Forsberg. Let's try and re-sign him. Call his agent. Let's start working on a contract. They have been working on this for months.
Long time.
Close to a year.
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, I would assume they had early conversations probably right out of the wave of free agency last year. You know, once the roster kind of got set, I'm sure, you know, this is if Forsberg and his people were really excited about making this happen, they would have done it by now. And the fact that he, if assuming he gets to the market, the fact that he is going to be one of the more coveted players out there, that's going to be there's nothing like being wanted.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way. You know, whatever the situation is, we've all experienced it in some way in our lives. There's nothing like knowing that people want you. And if you start talking to GMs and they say, oh, Philip, we're going to give you this and we're going to play you with this guy. And, oh, if you'd rather play with this guy, we, you know, whatever you want. I mean, that's intoxicating. It'll be a draw when the time comes, if it comes.
I thought Dan Rosen brought up a really intriguing point that I guess I hadn't really thought about. But Colorado,
yeah.
they've got projected $25 million in cap space right now. Now, they've got a ton of free agents. So they've got Burakovsky, Kadri, you know, Nichushkin. They've got a lot of guys that they've got to either think about re-signing or, I mean, they're not going to be able to bring back all of them, but I assume they want to bring back some of them. But could they go a different route and just be like, hey, you know what? We'd really like Philip Forsberg to play with Nathan MacKinnon. Let's go that route. Have got Forsberg, MacKinnon, you've still got Rantanen, you've got Landeskog, you've got Makar on the back end. Let's add another 40 goal score to it.
Like, yeah.
I hadn't thought about that, and I still, I guess I would describe that as a remote possibility because they've got a winning formula that they feel good about that I'm sure they want some of their guys back, but I will say the idea, if I'm Philip Forsberg, of maybe playing with Nathan MacKinnon would intrigue the heck out of me.
Me too. And going to a team that was that good.
Yeah.
Like we just sat here and had the discussion. How big a difference is there between Colorado and Nashville this year? If you're Philip Forsberg and you're thinking, you know, I really do want to win a cup, and Colorado's a hell of a lot closer to winning a cup going forward than Nashville is. You know, maybe that's the ultimate appeal. I hadn't thought of Colorado either, but that's going to be a really interesting job for Joe Sakic. We're going to find out what kind of GM he is. Is he a keep it together guy, or is he a that was fun, but we're always moving forward. We gotta turn this thing over kind of guy. We're gonna find that out pretty quickly about him.
Well, a lot of Predators fans are wanting maybe them to take a look at Nazem Kadri too. He's an interesting guy because he was so good this past year. He's going to be 32 coming up in October. And there's some rumors out there about, like, teams offering a seven-year deal. I'm like, I'm not offering a 32-year-old a seven-year deal.
Absolutely not.
I just can't see that happening. So I'm interested to see how it shakes out on that front. David, it's been fun today, man.
Are we done?
We are done.
That's it.
We could have gone another 4 hours.
I could.
It was a great day here on the program.
I'm happy to happy you asked me.
Appreciate you coming in. Unlike Joe Rexroad, you did not abandon me.
So I did. Never.
Appreciate you coming in with us today. That's going to do it for us today. We will not be live on Monday either in celebration of July the 4th. So we'll talk to you again coming up on Tuesday morning. The DDC up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right, every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.